Track 23, The Elements of Hurry, Step Number 5, Investment Close.
Okay, this is the exciting part. We're approaching 100 degrees of sales acceptance and a closed sale. All you need to do is complete the last segment of Hurry, which is to close for the money. In the book, we call it the price close. But as you may already know, price is a word I'd like to have you remove from your vocabulary. If you're going to be convincing people that owning your product or service is of more value to them than keeping their money, let's call it an investment. So the investment close. Now, the mental image of an investment is that you spend money and get something of value in return, sometimes even something more valuable than the money. In some industries, such as financial services and the art world, I understand that you cannot use the term investment as it would imply a guarantee increase in value of the item they own. For you, let's use the term amount. So rather than price, it would be the total amount. Using the best terms for your situation will help you keep the momentum moving forward to the final close. By saying something inappropriate at this point in time, you could alter the entire momentum of the sale. One single incident, often a minor one, can turn everything around and force a move in the opposite direction, which in this case would include cooling off the sales acceptance level of the potential client. Undesirable consequences would likely follow, and you would, at best, face a tremendous challenge in getting back up from where you've fallen. It is essential that you gauge your presentation so you are in the best possible position when the final amount is given. You must maintain the leverage you've gained by following all the steps in sequence up to this point. If you're not in the correct position, assuredly you'll drop the ball. Research has proven time and time again that once the amount has been given, the majority of sales will occur within that specific meeting. The percentages drop off dramatically for any subsequent meetings. To use sports imagery, you may have more than just one shot, but you'll probably have only one good shot. Your best opportunity to make that shot is during the meeting when the money aspects are first disclosed. Never, never, never give the final investment until you have completed all the steps correctly and in proper order to place your customer in a position to say yes if that amount is right. If you cannot close at this point, you will experience a shift in momentum, and that shift will be away from your desired position. Your leverage gone, you'll be forced to endure a round of calls, follow-up calls, missed messages, and perhaps more missed opportunities. Your self-confidence and their confidence in you may slip a few degrees, and you'll have to recapture the emotions just before the moment when it all fell apart, before you can proceed, and that can involve more hard work than the initial presentation took. From the time the first caveman sold the second caveman the first used rock, through the time of Marco Polo working with fantastically wealthy merchants of the Far East, right up to Bill Gates and you and me, potential clients have always wanted to negotiate price. Nobody wants to pay sticker price. Nobody pays retail, and nobody pays the first price they hear. Smart merchants have always accepted the psychology of the human mind and have adjusted their investment structure to accommodate it. That's the way a one-time closing master adjusts to meet the needs of a customer. Special investments for special clients appear as often as there are products for those special people. Hence the evolution of fire sales, closeouts, pre-construction sales, moving sales, end-of-the-year sales, holiday sales, Christmas in July sales, and so on. In my seminars, we create urgency by offering special investments on products that are only valid the day of the seminar. It's the today and today only method of developing urgency. Retail outlets use sales or offers where they indicate quantities are limited to create a sense of urgency in their shoppers. Investment counselors show charts and graphs of growth potential that is based on today's market figures. If you want to earn those kinds of returns, you should start your program today. People respond differently and to different motivations, but the main point is that everybody responds to something. Sometimes all it takes is a sale sign to get someone motivated. Usually, however, some other factor is involved, such as solving a challenge, satisfying a need, reaching a goal, or need, desire, and urgency. Understanding this reason is important because, as we all know by now, people buy based on their emotions, but justify the purchase with the facts. A one-time closer provides both. Some organizations have strict limits upon how much flexibility a salesperson can have. You may have little real authority to make significant changes. If that is your system, then work the best you can within it. Other companies often allow great latitude of pricing responsibility. If you have the authority to determine the exact product and investment for your clients, or if you have significant input into that decision, we recommend that you use a two-step investment close. Here's how it worked with Charlie and Anna and the purchasing of their car. Investment close number one. Well, Charlie, Anna, there you have it. I can drop the amount down to $9,200 if you'll take care of the spare yourself and if you don't care about the detailing. How does that sound? It won't sound quite right, of course, but Mickey already knows that. Well, Mickey, we appreciate it, but all we have is $9,000. That's not a negotiating tool. That's really all we have. Thanks, but we just have to pass. Having gotten your customers so near the asking price, should you press on and continue selling the virtues of the car, even though they said no? How about its clean engine, the large trunk space, the room for the three kids in the back seat? Well, it really doesn't matter. Charlie and Anna have made it quite clear that the value of the car doesn't equal the amount they can pay. If you keep pushing, all you'll likely do is turn no into heck no or worse. It's time to go to another option play, which is investment close number two. I can see you'd really like this car. Let me see what I can do. Charlie, you're good with tools. There's a small dent in the top of the trunk, nothing serious. In fact, a quick bump with a rubber mallet should take care of it. But if we run it through the body shop, they'll charge the sales department for the time and labor. If I can use that to knock down the amount to a flat $9,000, would that make you happy? Of course it will. That's their price, and you've just given them a lot of good reasons to justify the emotion they'll use in making the purchase. Never offer a discount without justification. If you do, you'll just lower the credibility of your product or service. You'll lower your own credibility, too. After all, if you could offer a discount like that, why didn't you do so in the first place? Offer the discount, but provide a logical reason. Mickey could just have easily offered another sound justification. She might say this: look, we have a new shipment of used cars coming in any day, and we're about to be overstocked. I'll speak to my sales manager about meeting your price. I think he'll see the wisdom of making a sale now. Justifying your discount allows your customer to justify the purchase. Wow, did we get a great deal on the new car? We just couldn't pass it up. If you have no leeway in the investment for your product or service, you will need to have alternate ways of handling money objections at your disposal, because money is the number one final objection in any selling situation. One of the best that I teach is called the "it costs too much" close. When they say it's more than they can afford, and usually it comes out like, "Tom, I just feel it costs too much," we want you to just warmly say, "John, today most things do. Can you tell me about how much too much you feel it is?" Now they've in essence said yes to the product, and all we have to do is find out how much too much it is and then help them rationalize investing that money. Then you move on to what's called the reduction to the ridiculous close. It helps them rationalize the money amount. Now, the reduction to the ridiculous is the process of converting an amount of money, be it total or monthly, down to a daily amount. Now, the steps we follow are these. When they say it costs too much, you again use the "cost too much" close. "John, today most things do. Can you tell me about how much too much you feel it is?" Then they give you an amount of money. Step number two, you must establish how many years they will enjoy the product or service. Then Step number three, we divide the amount by the number of years to get what we call an annual amount. Then step number four, we divide the annual amount by 52 weeks, and we get a weekly amount. And step five, we divide the weekly amount by 5 days or 7 days. Now, 5 days for when it's a business-to-business product where they'll only use it the 5 days of the week that the company's open. 7 days would be a personal sale to a family, for example, that would use the benefits of the product all 7 days of the week. Usually, this amount is so small, it becomes a moot point. You see, keep in mind, it's easier to rationalize 50 cents a day than it is to rationalize hundreds of dollars in a total investment. Another good close when money is the issue is the oblique comparison. You would take the money amount from the reduction of the ridiculous and compare it to something they could give up or another adjustment that they could make to come up with the money. Meaning when we got down to that 50 cents a day into the reduction to the ridiculous, we would ask the most favorable purchaser at the table, what could they do to come up with 50 cents a day? Could they give up something? Could they do something? This is called the oblique comparison. Now, another wonderful technique, I call this technique the fact weighing scale approach. And the reason I love it is when a buyer says to you, I want to think it over, we're going to go home and sleep on it. If they say any of those stalls, you simply say this little sentence. In other words, you'd like to weigh the facts. Now, if they've given you those stalls and you say, in other words, you'd like to weigh the facts, 99% of the time, because they feel like the presentation is over, they're leaving, they will agree. They'll say, we'd like to weigh the facts. Then you would deliver the presentation. Now, you'll see it's in the workbook. I so hope you'll learn it, you'll practice it, you'll rehearse it, you'll make it yours. The words go like this. I understand how you feel, John, and weighing the facts before making a decision makes a lot of sense. In fact, when I'm in this type of situation, I use a method called the fact-weighing scale approach. Here's how it works. First, we draw a scale. Now, you'll notice in the workbook, we've drawn a very easy little scale. You do not need to be an artist. It should fill up most of a legal pad page, be large enough that they can easily see it across the table. Then we continue. On the left side of the scale, we pile up just like small weights, the reasons you feel it makes good sense to go ahead. On the right side of the scale, we pile up the reasons you feel are against it. When we are finished, the decision will be weighed. Let's try it, okay? Now you would start mentioning the main reasons they've agreed they should go ahead with the purchase. Our goal is to shoot for six. Now, as you notice in your workbook, you'll see that we have put six little weights on the left-hand side of the scale. You would put those in as you would mention each of the benefits they should say yes to. If it were a home purchase, I would say, Mary, you mentioned you liked the area, and I'd put down one of the weights. John, you like the closest to school for the children. We also commented on how close shopping was. We also said that the landscaping was not only done, but done beautifully. Mary, I saw your excitement that it had not only a fireplace in the living room, but one in the family room. You also mentioned the carpets were like new. And I also have to remember so vividly the fact that the size of the backyard was perfect for you. Now, I have mentioned those and put little weights on the left-hand side of the scale. When I have my six, I will then turn to the husband and wife, and I will say, now, what are the weights you feel are against the decision? Now, you don't help on the right side. You see, they've come up with only two. After they're done, you say, any more? And they say, no. Then you say, let's see what we've got. On the left side of this scale, we have 6 heavy reasons why you should go ahead. On the right side, we only have 2 against. So the answer is rather obvious, isn't it? By the way, I know you'll be happy that we took the time to do what you wanted to do, which was weigh the facts. Now, in a business situation, you may want to learn this closing technique. It's called the business productivity close. And here's how it goes. I am presenting a product to a company that increases the employee benefit program. It saves the company money as well. So I would use the business productivity close, and it sounds like this. John, what I'm offering is not just a product for your company. It's a boost in employee morale. Haven't you noticed that anything new increases job interest and excitement? Excitement increases morale. Morale increases productivity. And what is productivity worth? Gosh, what a great close to use when you're marketing a product to a company. Now, in a situation with a married couple, consider using the best things in life close. See, this is a close where you get them talking about things that they're so happy they purchased. See, if I were going into an in-home sale, for example, I might be marketing kitchen remodeling, and she wants a nice new kitchen, and he's stalling me right now. I would then use the best things in life close. John, Mary, isn't it true that the only time you have ever really benefited from anything in your life has been when you said yes instead of no? You said yes to your marriage, and I can see how happy you are. You said yes to your job, your home, your car, all the things that I'm sure you truly enjoy. You see, when you say yes to me, it's not really me you're saying yes to, but all the benefits that we offer. And based on this truth, it just makes sense to say yes, doesn't it? What a beautiful close. Now, you're going to have a potential client simply stop the progression of the sale. After you give them all the figures, some of them want it for less, and they'll say this, I can get a product like yours cheaper somewhere else. Well, your job is to help them rationalize what they're getting for their money with this close. Here's what you say. You always agree with them in the beginning. That may well be true, John. And after all, in today's economy, we all want the most for our money. A truth that I've learned over the years is that the cheapest price is not always what we really want. Most people look for 3 things when making an investment. 1, the finest quality. 2, the best service. And 3, the lowest price. I have never yet found a company that could provide the finest quality and the best service for the lowest price. I'm curious, John, for your long-term happiness, which of the 3 would you be most willing to give up? Quality, service, or low price? You see, the goal of this last step of the element of hurry is a closed sale, a win-win situation, where the client feels it's of more value to own your product or service than it is to hold on to their money. Once that point is established, you ask for their approval on the paperwork, or whether they'll be making the investment with cash, check, or credit card. With their written approval, the sale is made.